Start my message off from the Haftarah portion for Samuel this morning. And so these words that I'm opening up with, 1 Samuel 12, verses 20 through 22, these words are really for each and every one of us this morning. So you can turn there or you can look up on the screen for 1 Samuel 12. Then Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord. But serve the Lord with all your heart, and do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people." These are words, really, I think, great words of hope for each of us this morning. No matter what you've done in your life, if you turn to the Lord and you dedicate your life to serve him from your heart, he's going to allow you to see his blessings. He's going to allow you to get everything that God tells us in the Bible that is in store for us. But it is if we will, at some point in our lives, turn back to the Lord and realize in our heart that we've done something wrong and we repent of those things. And then God has these wonderful words of hope. And why does he do that? He says it here why he does it. For his great name's sake. He does these things for his name's sake. And that's what I wanted to talk about this morning. You know, someone said to me, "Oh, you're going to do a Father's Day message." And you know what? I am doing a Father's Day message because my message is about the Father's name this morning. So, I don't know, maybe that's sort of just a catch-all thing. But all right. Now, this is being said to backslidden Israel, but we need to realize something. Let's look at what Shaul wrote in 1 Timothy, and then we'll go on. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Messiah Yeshua, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." And so we need to realize this. It is God's desire that all men would come to know him and would turn to him. So although we're reading these words that were spoken to Israel, the backslidden Israel, we need to understand God's heart, and his God's heart, and God's heart is that all men would be saved. The specific part of his nature applies not just to the nation of Israel, but it applies to all men. In other words, and here's the thing, sometimes we need to sort of separate this out. God created a people, and he created a people, and one of the reasons he created a people certainly was to birth the Messiah. But in doing this and having this relationship with this people known as Israel, the Jewish people, it was to one day hopefully show the nations the nature of God. How God wants to relate to all men. And so all these wonderful things that we see, these things about God and who he is and compassion and mercy and grace, he was using this people as an example so that the nations would see what a relationship with God is really about. His desire that all would come to know him, and then eventually would come to know Messiah Yeshua after Yeshua came and died for our sins. And he does it for his name's sake. We read the Bible and we see the thousands of times that he does so many things for us as people, as men, as human beings. Throughout the Bible, all the blessings, things that he does for Israel. The thing is, we need to realize when we're dealing with most of the Bible, what, 80% of the Bible? It's dealing with Israel. But then we see later on in the Bible, in the Brit Hadashah, in the New Testament, that Paul Shaul writes the letters and he's telling the teachings to the different people in the different countries outside of Israel, and he's teaching them and he's showing them and he's showing them the blessings that are in store for God, by God, for them. And so all throughout the Bible, we see these things that mankind, how we can benefit by having a relationship with God. And so really for this reason, we might sometimes tend to think that the Bible is really all about us, because we're in there so much. God is dealing with us as a people, as humans, so much. So the question is it possible to believe that the Bible is about God's plan of redemption for men, and yet it's not all about us? So sometimes people need to sort of readjust the way they're looking at these things in the Bible. If we read the Bible and we are to use our man-centered glasses to read the Bible, we can easily come up with lessons and with events that can make us feel good and can make us feel, look at all the wonderful things God does for us. And it's true, he does all these wonderful things. But sometimes people will tend to dwell on all of those wonderful things that God has in store for us, when the reality is, it's not about us, it's all about God. And we need to always keep this in mind. God says on a number of occasions that he blesses us. Thank you. Hint, hint. I had one up here, here it is over there. No, I don't know where I am. Oh, yes, okay, so he does say it. We read about it here, but he says it a number of occasions, on a lot of occasions, that he blesses us for his name's sake. And we know that there are plenty of people with ministries out there in the world they are dealing with that very thing that I talked about a few minutes ago. They're dealing with what I call feel-good ministries. We have all been exposed to them. Some of you listen a little too much to those feel-good ministries, because you may get a little too much imbalance of what it's all about with God. These feel-good ministries, we know about them. Sin is never mentioned. All of God's blessings are overemphasized to the point you only hear about God blessing us. You don't hear about the sin condition. You don't hear about negative things. You don't hear about things that we need to hear to have a proper balance of hearing about the good news. And it's easy to selectively read through the Bible, and this is what they do. They will selectively read through the Bible and they will preach a feel-good gospel, and that's all they preach is a feel-good gospel. Now, is it bad that we hear a feel-good? No. Sometimes I preach feel-good gospel. But there's a problem out there, because at the first sign of trouble that we have, at the first sign of situations that we may not be able to handle, or at the first sign of we're praying to the Lord and he's not answering our prayer immediately, too many times people, they give up. They reject the Lord. They turn their back on God. They say, this was a false gospel. This is not true. And what happens is too many times they look at the entire Bible and they look at the entire body of Messiah and they say, you know what? It's not good. It's not valid. So having that imbalance there potentially, very potentially, it can be a bad thing for people when they get hooked into that feel good only gospel. There has to be an honest balance. An honest balance. Now, it's people are people. And sometimes I can't stop how people perceive things. And I'm going to give you an example. Years ago, someone said to me, you know, all you do is talk about sin. Now, listen, I think the way I taught and preached years ago is basically the same kind of balance. But they said, all you do is preach about sin. Now, I know right away in my mind, this person has a lot of sin in their life, probably, and they don't like to hear that they're a sinner. You know, but the balance is we're all sinners. That's the reality. And then I've had other people that say, you know, all you do is talk about money. Now, yeah, wow, thank you for saying that, Patty, because, you know, and I even say this. I mean, can you remember when I've given messages about money? No. We get to take up our offering. Maybe I'll talk about it in a message for a minute or two if something comes up. And I'll talk about it and then I'll go on and talk about, but I don't dwell on it. I don't even give whole messages about tithing. You know, so maybe if I mention it in one or two verses in a message that might have 20 messages, you know, and so right away, all you do is talk about money. I could bet your dollar. See, I'm talking about money here. That person isn't tithing. And they're tight with their money, and they don't want to give to the ministry. You see? And so this is their thing. But this is what happens. Because sometimes, no matter what you teach or preach, it can be the way people who they have an imbalance in their life, how they perceive what's going on up here. But it is about not just balance, it's about honest balance. We need to hear the good and the bad. We need to hear all these things to have a complete picture of who God is and what the gospel, what the good news is, and what the nature of God is. So I'll use a few examples here that people can get the wrong impression. And I think this is probably one of the really good examples. Let's go to Psalm 23 this morning. We're just going to read a few verses. The Lord is my shepherd. I think everybody sort of heard this before, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness. So why do I say that people can read this and people can that preach a good feel good gospel only? They could read this thing and think, sure, why not? Because you know what? The Lord, he is my shepherd. You know what? He's leading me. And he restores my soul. See, it's all about me. It can be. We read these opening verses. Can I hear an amen? Right. He is my shepherd. He restoreth my soul. He does lead me in paths of righteousness. It's true. So now let's, but the thing is, let's look at the rest of it. For his name's sake, why does he do these things? He's doing that for his name's sake. What does that really mean? I'm going to try and maybe talk about it a little bit here. But Psalm 23 details how God and his works benefit us. So it would be very easy to see that we are the important subject. And whenever we read and when we hear people preach or teach from certain scriptures, and sometimes they don't even have to, you know, it may not say for his name's sake, but if they just read a scripture as it is, we start seeing a picture. Wow, look at all God does for us. It's all about us. I think people sometimes in talking about, you know, look, in our music, one of the things I really like about our music, and there's been, you know, questions, and I know in our rabbis forum we talk about it, what makes messianic music? What makes it messianic music? You know, it used to be, and it's still true to some extent, that it's based on scripture. In the early days, it was all scripture. We would take a song, and really, in a sense, we would just take a psalm, or we would take scripture, and we would put a melody to it, and we would sing the words, and it was great. It was a wonderful way also to learn the Word of God. But sometimes people today, when they try to analyze, and I'll use this, a lot of the music that's coming out today, especially it's coming out in the church, it's all about us. Listen to some of the songs out there. It's not about the Lord. It's about us. What he does for us. He does this for us. I'm saved because of this. He's so wonderful to me. I am blessed. It's all us. It's all us. And so some people do say, some of it's a little too us-centered in that. Okay, but anyway, he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Why? One reason is because if you're in God, in the path of righteousness, that's where God's Spirit is. He leads you in an area, he leads you through a path that he knows that his presence is there. He leads you in a path because he knows that you're going to be doing the right things in your life. The Holy Spirit is present. And so why does he lead us in paths of righteousness? Because he knows it's a good path. But he does it for his name's sake. For his name's sake, it really has a lot to do with his reputation. Now, some people would say, why is God worried about his reputation? What does he care? What does he care? But it is, when we read for his name's sake, it's about his reputation. And we can look at it with us. You know, people say, you know, someone passes away and they say, that person had a great reputation. What do they say? They had a great name, right? That person was a wonderful person. They are leaving a legacy. They had a great reputation for things that they did. And then they will say many times, he had a great name and he left this earth with a great name and a great reputation. And so that's really, it's about his reputation. That's what this is about. When he does things for his name's sake, he doesn't have to do these things, but he does them for his name's sake. He does this for who he is. He does these things for how people will come to get to know him. Because when people do things and they leave a legacy and they have a great name, we get to know sometimes and appreciate who they were after they leave this earth. See, but God wants us to know, he wants the world to know who he is. He wants the world to know what kind of reputation he really has. And so that really brings up something to us. Let's go to Isaiah 48:9. For my name's sake, I will defer my anger, and for my praise, I will restrain it from you, so that I do not cut you off. Again, this is talking to Israel, but here we see that for his name's sake, he is going to hold back his anger. For his name's sake, he is going to restrain from doing something too hastily for you. See, he wants to know, he wants Israel to know, and by extension, he would like to know eventually the nations to know, that this God has a reputation for not moving too hastily. He's a great judge. He's a good judge. He's a righteous judge. But he's not going to jump out before he looks at the situation and understands what's really happening. He's long-suffering, the scripture says. He doesn't move hastily. And so why? So he does these things, but he's doing it for his name's sake because that's the way he wants his reputation to be, so that we will say, God is a righteous judge. God will deal with us. God will look at the situation and weigh out the situation. He's not going to do it hastily without thinking about it. How do we know that? Because we know his reputation. We know his name. He does these things for his name's sake. And so we should want to protect that reputation as believers, because he would rather have our praise than allow us to die. I will defer my anger, and for my praise I will restrain from you so that you're not going to be cut off. He would rather have our praise than to smite us dead. That's his reputation, and we should protect his reputation. Why? Well, we should want to protect his reputation because he would rather see us victorious than to see us defeated. That's part of what a God he really is. And that's part of his reputation, and we should protect his reputation. Let's go Brit Hadashah, New Testament, 1 John 2:12. I'll read one line here. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. They are forgiven you for his name's sake. This is not just a concept in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament. It's a concept throughout the Bible. So Yochanan is writing to us as if we're little children, and he's trying to explain some of these things. Because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. We should protect God's reputation because he became us. We should protect his reputation because he shed his blood for us. We should protect his reputation because he suffered and he died for us. We should protect his reputation because we want the world to know who he is. Jeremiah 14:7. Though our iniquities testify against us, do it for your name's sake, for our backslidings are many and we have sinned against you. It's all throughout the Bible. He does it for his name's sake. There are things that we need to show to the world. Because the world, let's face it, they have a pretty rotten view of who God is. In their eyes, God's reputation stinks. They've made up their own God. And we hear all the reasons that they don't like God and they don't want to believe in God and they don't want to follow God and they don't, all these things. You put it all together, God's reputation is pretty lousy in their eyes and in their hearts. So we, as the body of Messiah, we need to protect God's reputation and show the world who God really is. And so God has done this throughout the scriptures, although people don't want to read this and see, gee, maybe I'm wrong about who God really is. Because just as there are these feel-good gospels, if you talk to someone that, you know, they don't want to believe in God, they're agnostic, they're atheist, whatever, they're, I don't want to have anything to do with religion, I don't want to have anything to do with the Lord, I don't want to... And boy, they can rattle off scriptures that show about the anger of God. And they say, what kind of God is that? He kills people. He's angry. Just as the feel-good gospel people can show you all the good, positive scriptures, people that hate God can show you all the bad scriptures without being balanced. They can show you all the things that are negative or seem to be negative. They can do it. And it's true. You got to look at the whole Bible in balance. But the thing is, we need to see above it all that God does these for his name's sake because he's trying to show a world who he really is. He's trying to show a world he has a great reputation. And this is why the world should follow him. And should accept him, and by extension then accept his son. And so we need to, their acknowledgement of God is not really who he is. It's not really his, it's not his real reputation. And the world needs to know that. They need to know all of the good things. If they know about the good things, then they can maybe hopefully understand some of the other things. But those other things that we see that seem to be so bad, we know that they're because there's something good about him and his reputation, that he is a righteous judge. And when we do bad things, we do, you know, and just the way you'll talk to people sometime, and you try to use an analogy here. Yeshua may say it's a parable, but you try an analogy and you go, hey, listen, if you go up before a judge in Brevard County, do you want him to be a righteous judge? Or do you want him to be a judge that's on the take? You want him to be a judge that has preset things in his head, in his heart, and if you're the wrong person, at the wrong age, with the wrong color, with the wrong occupation, he's going to hold it against you. Or do you want a righteous judge? And he's going to judge by the letter of the law. Everyone's going to say, I want a righteous judge if you are innocent. See? But the thing is, we want a righteous judge. So, if people will understand he is a righteous judge, and then they understand that they can change their ways before one day, you know, it's as if, you know, I mean, it doesn't happen in the world, but imagine if you did something and you're scheduled to go before the judge in a month and you clean up your act in those 4 weeks. Wouldn't it be nice if you could go into the judge and say, listen, judge, I just want you to know I cleaned up my act, and he's going to go, okay, not guilty. You cleaned up your act. That's great. See, the thing is, that's what God does. He allows us before the final judgment, before we go before him as the righteous judge, we can say, you know what? We did a lot of bad stuff, but we had some time and we cleaned up our act. You see, that's what the world really, really needs. And so it's about his reputation. It is about his good name. They need to know his reputation. They need to know his reputation with us. And then they need to know what kind of reputation he wants to have in the world if the world will allow him to. They need to change their thinking concerning who he really is and what his reputation is. So he does these things not for us alone, but he does them for his reputation, for his name's sake, so that the world will know who he is, because it's God's desire that we read in the beginning, that all men would be saved. And so he does it for his good name's sake, so that we, the world, will come to know the Father, capital F Father, the greatest Father that man could have, and also to know his Son. It's all about his namesake. And so, Lord, we do pray this morning. We all have friends, we all have family, some of us have spouses that their reputation is of who God really is and who Yeshua really is, they're pretty crummy things that they think about you. And so we pray this morning, Lord, that you are going to heart to heart just speak to them and let them see who you really are, what a loving God you really are, what wonderful things you have in store for each and every one of us, who you want to be with us, that somehow and in some way they will come to know what your name really stands for in each of our lives. We praise you, Lord. In Yeshua's name we pray on this Shabbat. Amen and amen. Praise you, Lord.